Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
Christopher Cross, God bless him. It's great that a fella like that, the story goes that he was a roadie for Fleetwood Mac and suddenly got an opportunity. It's great that when fellas get opportunities.
Really?
Like Simon Delaney, for example, get an opportunity. But then talent will out, you see.
Always. Did you know Brendan O'Carroll was Brendan Grace's roadie?
Yes, I did. I did actually know that.
So a roadie could be a career path.
Roadie, because you're watching.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you're learning,
Marty.
You're learning all
More
the time.
More importantly.
How are you, my friend?
I'm very good.
First thing, it's lovely to have you back.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Secondly, having seen you in the Price Arthur Miller's, the Price at the Gate, and I was so excited going to it, but by golly was I excited leaving it. It was brilliant. You were out. Now it's only a small cast, it's only yourself and Abigail is the Sean Campion,
yes,
and Nicholas Woodson.
Yeah,
brilliant, just for you. But it was a stunning night of theatre.
Yeah.
And you were just in your element.
Yeah.
You make a great policeman, by the way. Can I just tell you that now? You would have been a lovely guard.
The uniform suits me, yeah.
It is something else.
It's a great piece of theatre. It's, it's Arthur Miller.
As we all know, one of
the greatest playwrights. And nobody writes those family relationships, that father and son, better than him. And it's as relevant today, the story, as it was back in 67 when he wrote it.
Yes.
The
yes.
characters are so well observed. The dialogue is very sharp. There's a lot of it.
There's a lot of it. As it went on, I felt like I was watching. It's like a movie. But it is. It's a film, if you like. Because there's so much dialogue. There's so much. Because I always remember when the rainy Sunday afternoons when you were small, and the RTE would be showing the old black and white films. And it'd be nothing but dialogue. Because there'd be no action. It'd be just loads of this. And like for an actor, that is.
Yeah, it's kind of gold, you know. When the base material is so good, you're off to a flyer, and then when you're surrounded by that cast, under the direction of Conleth Hill, he was an incredible director. I mean, we hear that phrase all the time, you know, an actor's director, and he so is, you know, because he.
What does that mean?
I think he understands the struggle.
Okay, fair enough.
He understands the thing when you burst into fits of Tourette's, when you don't know the lines. He's gone, you know, just. You know, all right, take a breath, relax.
Right,
it's all good. We've 2 weeks left. We've a week left. He just...
An hour left.
We're on now, quick. But he was very observant. There were little things he'd notice, which is what a director's job is.
Yeah.
Just little bits of polish that you can add. Little moments. There's a little moment where I'm talking about my late mother, and there's a dress of hers on the set, and he said, touch the dress, it's in front of you.
Right.
That'll trigger the memory. And I was like, God, that's very clever. That's very clever.
It is, yeah.
But under his direction, it's been a joy. It was a joy to rehearse it, and we're having a ball playing it. You know?
It's very special. And just before we came on, the two of us, the idea that it is old school. It's just a play.
Yeah.
There's nothing else going on.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no mobile phones. There's no messaging. Yeah. There's nothing. It's just a play set in that time.
Yeah. And it's still very relevant, Marty. Even though it was written in 67, it deals with issues of family, of money, of how certain family members recall an event and are convinced that's what happened.
Yeah, that's genius, one. Because you play the son who looked out for the dad. And your brother plays the fella who didn't, quite frankly.
Well, he didn't, but he, you know, who's right and who's wrong?
Well,
that's the thing, you walk into the play. I remember Conleth Saint was that when we started rehearsals, there's no heroes and villains in this. No one's the good guy, no one's the bad guy. You know.
I thought you were the good guy.
Well, some people do and some people don't, you know.
Yeah, you see.
Yes, he stayed and looked after the father when his brother went off to college, but he made that choice to do that.
He did, yeah.
And now
it's prodigal son stuff.
It is, but it's biblical.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It is biblical.
Elements of all that in there. It must be lovely to be in the gate again.
That's great. I love the gate. It's a great space.
But I remember you in the snapper. It was ridiculous.
That was great fun. Yeah, that was a theatrical experience in itself, wasn't it?
Something else. Actually, do you know what Ian found? He found this. I've just found it on there.
Literally, physically,
that's
25 years.
Will there ever be? never be dismissive of your path to glory.
Oh, absolutely
never,
not.
Oh, no,
that's the reason I'm sitting here, Martin.
That was a great program.
Yeah, that was 2000, so that's 24 years
2000,
ago.
Yeah.
But like... It was in black and white.
Stop it, too. But like you say that 2000 as if it's kind of...
It's 24 years ago.
Hang on a second. That was the second time that I commentated on the Eurovision Song Contest.
Was it really?
The first one was Johnny Logan's second win in 87. Then I didn't do it again until 2000.
Wow.
So there, you see. So, yeah, there's
by the way, my boys are huge Eurovision fans. They are uber excited about next weekend. Yeah,
that'll be great.
I think the Irish song has a shot.
It's fantastic. Always say we're in a tough semi-final. I won't labour the point, but we are in a tough semi-final. We have a lot of countries who, let's just say, favour each other's.
Yeah, I know.
And that's a bit of a problem.
Would you do me a favour, Margie?
No.
Okay.
No. What is it you want me to do?
I just wanted to say a happy belated birthday to my current mother-in-law.
Your current mother-in-law? And what's her name?
This is Evelyn.
Evelyn.
Who listens to you every morning, Margie.
Evelyn, God bless her.
She does. She does the Stations of the Cross, then she listens to you.
some people do it the other way around. What's her second name?
Muddy Man.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, there you are now.
What's her...
Go on, where do you go from that now?
Nowhere to go now. what's her Christian name again?
Evelyn.
Evelyn Muddyman. Yeah. Evelyn, good morning to you. And has she heard you sing?
Oh, she has, yeah. Whether she likes it or not.
Because we're talking about, because we did a show with the RTE Concert Orchestra the last week too. But you have sung with the RTE Concert Orchestra.
I have had the great pleasure of several times singing with them in the concert hall. And
yeah.
There's nothing quite like it, actually.
And how did this happen? Because it's two or three years ago.
Yeah, I've done a couple of them. The most recent one was a concert with Killian Donnelly, the brilliant Killian Donnelly.
Yeah.
And he put together a concert in the concert hall, and he had a few friends of his come along and sing with him. And he asked me, and I was more than happy to have known Killian since he was 16.
Oh, that's lovely.
I directed him in his first musical up in Dublin, actually, The Hot Mikado. And boy, has he gone on to conquer the world.
There is that.
But a man with a work ethic, he grafted, he went over to London, did his time in the swings, you know, in the ensemble cast of Les Mis, and now he's only had the L2 Olivier nominations.
That all?
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll get there eventually.
And he's a nice fellow, which is even more sickening.
That is always upsetting, because you want him to be a piece of work.
Yeah, you do, but he's not. He's a gentleman. Yeah.
Right. Will we play this for your mother-in-law?
Oh, what are you playing now? Oh, God. Right.
You ready?
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got my string around my finger. What a world. Is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold the string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let it go. I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got that string around my beautiful thing. As long as I hold the string,
said, I would have done all the words if I'd known they were recording it.
The action too. I've got the word on the screen. That's lovely.
Oh, my word. That was a great night.
Harold Ireland. That's great stuff. With David Brophy conducting. Yeah. Anything else. Are you still television?
No, I left Ireland AM last.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I went up to Belfast to film and used six part one hour drama series up in Belfast called The Woman in the Wall, which is coming in October, which is going to be kind of special. It's stars Ruth Wilson and Daryl McCormack and a fine cast of Irish actors, Hilda Faye, Dermot Crowley, Art Lohan and myself. Starts in October on BBC One and on Showtime in the States. So we were 5 months up there filming that. Right over Christmas.
Yeah.
And actually now I'm doing a bit of the theatre and sure we'll see what happens
but
after that.
But you're always at it. Like I'm thinking back to the cookbook.
Oh yeah.
You know, and all that crack.
Yeah, I'm bringing you in the mail. A key lime pie I brought you.
Me a key lime pie. Didn't this time, Mark Hugh.
No.
But did.
You're writing something down there as well. That's worrying me, Mark. he won't be asked back.
You're always prepared to have a go at something else.
Well, you have to, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And you know, and you've talked to them in the States and stuff as well over the years.
Oh,
so you've always got that going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you have to exist as a self-employed actor. You know, you can't just be a self-employed actor. You've got to be a writer, director, you know, do your voiceovers, theatre, television, whatever comes your way.
Yes.
Because, as I've said before, my kids have this selfish habit of eating food every day.
It's a disgrace.
I know.
I
mean, not one of them's working. One of them's nearly 17. That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? And the youngest is 6. That's an excuse.
It is a disgrace that they won't get out there.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know where they get that.
So you end up being the one who has to provide.
Well, exactly, yeah.
That's right.
But I find great solace in it. Like, the cookbook came from my passion, which was cooking, because that's my therapy. And now I'm writing. I've written a novel, and I'm currently writing my second novel, and that's my kind of escape. I like throw myself into stuff like that.
You do.
Yeah, I love it.
But also, the other thing that I think is interesting too is you take chances. You're not afraid to take a chance, because if you don't take a chance, mm-hmm. well, then nothing happens potentially.
I think that's from, I was a sales rep for 8 years, Marty.
Who do you work for? What did we sell?
It was quicker at job interviews to tell people who I hadn't worked for. My CV was like the Yellow Pages, you know what I mean? Because in the sales game, you're only as good as your last week's sales figures.
So are you good at selling?
Well, I sold everything, office equipment, life insurance, portraits.
You sold portraits?
Door to door.
You mean you didn't do?
My first ever job, Marty, I answered an ad in the Evening Herald, went to a third floor office in Dame Street.
Right.
Met these two very dodgy characters.
Who didn't work for the Herald necessarily.
No, they didn't. No. They were working, you were working on behalf of an artist.
Okay.
And we were handed an index card with a list of streets that we were to call to that day.
Oh, sure.
You were given an index card and £2.50 for your bus fare to get there and back. And in my first week, I was sent to Darndale.
Right.
And
it was handy for supper.
Well, exactly. Well, I'm from Coolock,
exactly,
around the corner. I spent the first week walking around Tulip Court and Buttercup Crescent, knocking on people's doors, asking if they wanted the portrait done.
And they said?
I can't really repeat that, Marty. Well, I'll put it this way. I made £4 in my first month. So that didn't last very long.
And I'm sorry about this. So you would go to the door, you'd mm-hmm. want your portrait, and then what? He would come out and do it then, would he?
Yeah, you'd ask him, would you like the portrait
take? Oh, very good, okay.
Yeah, paint it. And you'd show them examples of the artist's work.
Of course.
And if they said yes, you would arrange a sitting.
Yeah.
Didn't get many pickups, though.
Well, thank God you had the acting to play back on, which is always great. Listen, I want to talk about the other characters who were on. Sean Campion.
Yes.
And Abigail McGibbon. And Nicholas Woodson, a revelation,
yeah. Well, basically the story's about two brothers who are estranged. They haven't spoken to each other in 16 years. It's set in 1968 in Upper East Side of New York.
Yeah.
And Victor, my character, and his wife arrive into the top floor attic space of a brownstone building that their father used to live in. They used to own the entire building, but after the Wall Street crash in 1929, his father lost everything. He moves up to the attic floor, and Victor stayed with him. His brother, his older brother Walter, left and went to college, became a very successful doctor. Victor joined the NYPD and has been walking a beat for 28 years. But they've arranged the meeting on this particular day because they've arranged to meet a furniture dealer to sell off the final pieces of furniture of the father's estate. So the brilliant Abigail McGibbon plays my wife, Esther, my long-suffering wife.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then Nicholas Woodison plays this beautifully crafted character, this furniture dealer, this New York Jewish furniture dealer. And he arrives then to make a deal for the furniture.
Yeah.
And we learn why the two brothers haven't spoken for 16 years, and then lo and behold, at the end of Act One, the brother appears.
But he is, Nicholas Woodson is phenomenal as this, as Solomon.
Gregory Solomon.
As the auctioneer. He almost plays some of it for laughs. It's like, I saw somebody say that it's almost Neil Simon.
Yeah, it's very comedic, you know, yeah. But there are points. It's very sad. The whole play is very sad. Even he has a sad story.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about, you know, he went bust four or five times in his life. He's been married three, four times. He had a daughter who was no longer with him. And it's very sad. That all comes through.
This is the character. It isn't Nicholas's real life.
Yes, this is the character of Gregory Solomon. And then Sean Campion, another former Stones in His Pockets at Alumni, of course, yes. Him and Conleth originated the two roles in Stones years ago.
Yes.
He plays my older brother, Walter, and he's phenomenal in it, as is Abigail. And as I say, under the direction of Conleth, it's been a joy so far.
Yeah, I know.
So far.
Because they're going to do it again tonight, Marty.
Are there matinees, or is it every...
There was a matinee on a Saturday, yeah. I'd love to meet the person who invented matinees.
Would you have something interesting to say?
I just need about 5 minutes with them in a dark room.
Let's have another song from Simon.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Hiya, son.
Oh, yeah. Ready?
It's going, man.
Like the wallpaper sticks to the wall. Like the seashore clings to the sea. Like you'll never get rid of your shadow. You'll never get rid of me. Let all the others fight and fuss. Whatever happens, we've got us.
Me. Closer than pages that stick
and
in a book. We're closer than ripples that play in a brook. Wherever you find him, you'll find me. Just look. Close in the smiles, all the bloodhounds flies on me.
We're close in the smog is to
and my shadow.
We're closer than Bobby was to JFK. Not a soul can bust this team in two. We stick together like glue. And when it's sleeping time,
that's when we rise.
We start to swing.
Swing to the sky.
Those clocks don't shine.
Not a surprise.
Either.
We had some crack.
Simon Delaney with me this morning. That's fantastic. Me and my shadow with the RTE Concert Orchestra, Dr. Brophy, and the relatively talented Killian Donnelly, which is quite good.
Oh, yeah.
That's something else.
He is unbelievable. That was a gorgeous night.
Lovely.
A lot of our friends from the amateur musical theatre scene were in the audience that night, and it was just very special. And he brought his girlfriend, his now wife, Louise,
lovely.
The amazing Louise, who's a phenomenal singer, brought her on stage, and they did a duet.
Oh, for God's
sake. Pregnant with little Tig, and it was just very special.
Special.
There wasn't a dry seat in the house.
As I always said, it would be a dry leg in the house. Well enough. Listen, how long is the price going on at the gate? When are you?
We're running to the 3rd of June, so Saturday the 3rd of June. That's marked in my mind for two reasons. It's my Lewis's birthday. He'll be 7 on the 3rd of June.
A Gemini child.
Yes, and it's also the FA Cup final, United and City.
Well, so Yeah, not available on the 4th.
I put them in the right order. Do you notice that? Yeah,
I did. Yeah, very good. Very important.
I'll see a bit of a matinee, but anyway.
But it could be extended. You don't know because it's gone very
it
well.
It could well be extended, yeah. We shall see.
And it's the usual situation. It's the gate.ie, I presume, is it?
Yeah, gatetheatre.ie. You can get tickets there, and all the details are on my social media channels.
Look, if you could, your channels.
Channels. I don't know what that means. It's just a phrase I was told to use.
It makes you sound like...
I know, yeah, like a media organisation. Right, yeah.
But listen, do you miss the telly? Do you miss the telly?
I don't miss getting up at 4:30 in the morning on a Friday.
Well, we do that 5 days a week.
I know. But it's not voluntary work, Marty, you know what I mean?
No, it's not. And that's the thing. I must say, I think if you enjoy what you do, then...
Well, my character says that in the play. What's the difference what you do if you don't do the work that you love?
Yeah.
It's a luxury. Most people never get near it, you know?
That's right.
Listen, I'm very lucky. I've been playing make-believe now for 25 years. I'm waiting for somebody to tap me on the shoulder and say, come on, back to work now.
With respect, you are a very popular fella, and you throw yourself into things, and people know that you're very genuine, and I've always liked you. So, you know, I'm no judge of character, obviously.
That says a lot coming from you, Marty.
I don't know where you're going with that. Anyway, listen, it's been lovely, and keep the faith, and I just hope it... you know, whatever the next move is, it's whatever you've done has always worked.
So far, so good.
But that's a great thing, thank God.
Touch wood. Because persistence is a great key to have in your armory.
Yeah, I know. But it's my thing as well, that idea, if something doesn't work, get out from behind it and move on to the next.
100%, sure, yeah.
Because you've got to keep it going, Patsy.
Oh, you know? There's no surer thing, Marty. Thank you for having me in. And thanks for the ginger nuts, by the way.
Would you like some more?
No, I'm okay. I'm only that one a day.
But that's a bit late for that one.
I've already had two.
You have. You can have another one.
You can keep the Jaffa Cakes. Can I have a go at that theme music thing? I think I know what that is that you were playing earlier on.
The one that we...
I was outside talking then.
Yeah, see, that's it now. What do you think it was?
Was it Indiana Jones?
It was, yeah.
All right. Do I get another ginger nut now?
Yeah. Do you want one here? After dropping me. Heaven's sake. A little bit of New York, because of the old play. Why not?
Love it.
Simon Delaney, God bless you.
Thanks, Marty. Great to see you, as always.
Not at all.